Are you feeling overwhelmed with lesson planning? Let my Kindergarten Teacher Essentials year-long mega bundle do the heavy lifting for you. Kathy L., first-time kindergarten teacher, said it best. What a time saver. The no prep activities are invaluable, especially to a first-year teacher. It gives me more time to focus on the needs of my students instead of endlessly searching for materials and activities that match our outcomes. Whether you're planning for stations, centers, small groups, or prepping for the whole entire year, this bundle has everything you need and it's ready to go right now. Say goodbye to planning stress and hello to more time for what matters most, your students. So grab the bundle to save time, save money, and get all your materials all in one place in my Teachers Pay Teachers store. Hey, teacher friends, it's Sipa from Kindergarten Cafe, and today I want to talk about a very common problem I hear from teachers, which is how do I maintain classroom management while I am teaching in small groups? How do I manage the rest of the class's behavior? Well, let's get into it. You're listening to the Kindergarten Cafe podcast, where kindergarten teachers come to learn classroom-tested tips and tricks and teaching ideas they can use in their classroom right away. I'm Zeba, creator and founder of Kindergarten Cafe, and I help kindergarten teachers with everything they need from arrival to dismissal in order to save time, work smarter, not harder, and support students with engaging and purposeful lessons. I'm here to cheer you on through your successes and breakthroughs and offer support and resources so you never have to feel stuck or alone. Ready to start saving time and reducing your stress, all while using effective and purposeful lessons that students love? Let's get started. The first thing that we want to focus on when we are pulling small groups is first to make sure that kids are extremely solid in their routines and not starting small groups until they are solid in routines. So in the beginning of the year when I'm launching centers, which is when I do my small groups, I don't pull small groups for the first several weeks because I want to make sure I'm there to support kids in the routines of the center time, what they are doing independently. Okay, so I don't start pulling small groups until I know kids are solid in their routines. The other thing I make sure to teach students throughout the year, especially early on in the year, is to teach them problem-solving strategies. One of the first problem-solving strategies I teach them is ask three before me, and then I reinforce that throughout the entire year. Having kids learn that they don't have to just ask the teacher for help. They can, in fact, ask three students. They should ask three students before asking a teacher for help. This is most helpful during snack time when there's a million containers to open, but it also is especially important because when you do start pulling small groups, you'll have kids in the routine of asking three before me, okay? But I will say that when you are doing a routine over and over and over and over again that kids are solid in, there really aren't questions that pop up except for like, can I use the bathroom? Or my nose is bleeding? Like things like that. Like they don't have questions because it is the same routine over and over again. So I think that's the other key thing is that you're planning activities for the other kids that are really engaging and that they know really well how to do. Because if kids are not engaged, that's when you have misbehaviors. Or if activities are too hard, that's when you have misbehaviors. So occasionally you might have students that need more support than what the rest of the class needs. And so the activities that you have for center time or for whatever your routine is for the independent work, you might have kids that need more support. And so for them, I would lower the task level during that independent time, like lower what you're asking of them so that they can stay engaged. Because your job is in that moment to be helping the kids in front of you in your small group and not to be monitoring their behavior. And so if that means that, you know, everyone else is reading and you have them on the iPad, okay, so be it. And by the iPad, I mean like they're maybe listening to a story. Or you have everyone writing, okay, and then the kids that need your constant support to be able to write, maybe they are working on drawing or fine motor support, or building trick words with Play-Doh. Like, I have a whole resource for beginning writers that includes things that they could be doing while other kids are writing independently. But the key is that you are meeting them where they're at. You're giving them work that they're able to do independently so that you can also meet with other kids. And it's still helping to teach them the foundational skills that they need. The other thing you want to think about is planning your small groups, like who's in the small groups accordingly. You really want to make sure there's not like those two silly kids that always get riled up together, not left unsupervised together. Like, make sure they're not in the small group that's not meeting with you. Like, have them be in different groups that are working on different things so that they're separated across the room. That will help just avoid some of the silliness that could go on when you're not watching, is to have them be in separate areas working on different things. So know those students, know who gets riled up by who, and have them separated. The other thing that you want to make sure to teach your students, and this is not going to be like a one and done thing. It's like, I'm going to tell the whole group and then it's going to have to happen every time a student comes over to try and talk to me, is to tell students, when I'm with a group, I am not available. When I'm at this teacher table with students, I'm not available. And make sure to go into, unless there is an emergency. And there's a great lesson there of, what is an emergency? You are bleeding. That's pretty much it. You are bleeding. This is the emergency. Then yes, like, absolutely, come and get me right away. If you need to use the bathroom, you don't need to ask. That's my rule anyway. I have a bathroom in my classroom. Like, if you need to use the bathroom, if no one's in there, just go. You don't need to come ask me. When I'm with a group, I'm not available, right? If you can't find the book that you're supposed to be reading, ask three before me. That's not an emergency. You can solve that problem. So that's where that problem-solving strategies come into play. Some teachers I've seen have like a light that they put on, or like a crown or tiara that they wear that symbolizes like, I am not available. You cannot interrupt me. I am with the group, right? Whatever it symbolizes, but it means I'm not available. And you could certainly do that. I've just found that I've never really needed it, because I just say I'm not available and I make sure that the kids have things that they can do that are highly engaging and that they can do independently. And that may mean for some students that they have quote unquote easier work, or work that's more appropriate for them. Or maybe, you know, they're on the iPad for a little bit of time, or whatever it might be that you need to do. But you are planning it so that all of the kids can be engaged without you being there, right? And that's also why you practice that for so long with that before you start pulling small groups. I think a big mistake that teachers have in pulling small groups is having independent work that changes during this time. If kids don't know what to do, if it's confusing, if it's too hard, they're not going to be engaged, they're going to have misbehaviors. So try to keep it consistent of like, you're reading from your book bag, or you're writing from your writing folder, like you're continuing things we're doing at other times, or like you're always going to this center first, and that doesn't change. Like you're doing the roll and write word work activity first. Whatever it is, you do it so much that the kids can be so independent with it. I think that really helps, because when you're changing the activity every week to a brand new thing, the kids are not always going to remember how to do it. They're going to have to come up and ask you, what do I do? What do I need? What material? Where do I find that material? No, thank you. So that's the key. And then telling students when you're with a group, you're not available, and teaching them how to solve the problem by asking three before me, unless it's an emergency. Those are my suggestions for classroom management while you are teaching in small groups. The other thing is to leave time in between small groups so you can go do a quick like lap around the room and check on things, check to make sure everyone's on task and things like that. And the other thing I will say is, if you have a group that really struggles with this and you are doing small groups, like if they get off task a little bit, but it's not disruptive, sometimes it's okay to let it go. And sometimes you just really need to focus on the group in front of you. Like, no, you can't be everywhere at once. And as long as they're not being disruptive, like, pick your battles, right? And then think to yourself, okay, what can I make sure to give these kids that is more engaging so that they can remain on task the whole time? or have a conversation with them about like, hey, I noticed that you were getting distracted with this thing in the classroom. And when I was at the small group, I couldn't come up and talk to you about it. But we need to make sure that doesn't happen again. So maybe you can sit somewhere different tomorrow, or maybe you can work on this tomorrow. What do you think? What is your idea for making sure this doesn't happen again? You're not letting them get away with it. You can talk to them about it after, but in the moment, you can focus on the small group as long as it's not being disruptive to other kids. That's where I would interrupt the small group if it's being really disruptive to the other kids. One other thing about talking about classroom management in small groups is that small groups should be short and really to the point, really targeted. I'm talking 5-10 minutes for each group. And then maybe you're doing one group, maybe you're doing two groups, but I wouldn't do more than that because kindergartners do not have that long of an attention span. You do not want to leave them alone to their own devices. So another common problem I see from teachers that are asking about this is that they're leaving their kids alone for way too long. And so that is my key for you, is that those small groups should be really targeted and only like 5-10 minutes. I would say average 10 minutes, right? Because we don't want to leave kids really alone more than that. And then pulling 1 to 2 small groups in a block of time, in an hour block of time. You don't want to be like small group. And next thing you know, you've left kids really unattended, even though, you're in the room, but like you're not there and watching over them for like an hour. No, that's not developmentally appropriate in kindergarten. And when things aren't developmentally appropriate, that's also when you have misbehaviors. So keeping your expectations reasonable will help you with your classroom management when you're teaching in small groups. Keeping those groups short and sweet and to the point and not doing too many of them so that you can be there for the kids for the rest of the time, because they're not going to be able to sustain that independent, engaging activity, no matter how engaging. They won't be able to sustain it for longer than 20 minutes, for sure. So keep that in mind when you're planning your small groups. If you want more help with like your outline of small groups or what to do in small groups, I have tons of resources for you for math, for literacy, whatever you need, reach out and let me know, and I will help you find the resources so that you know how to best support your students in those small groups. Okay, well, I hope that's helped with some ideas for classroom management while you're teaching in small groups. If you're looking for more supports with doing center time, because like I said, that's when I pull my small groups, I do have 2 previous episodes, one for math and one for literacy, about center time. So you can listen to those and then let me know if you have further questions. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks so much for listening to the Kindergarten Cafe podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for more information and resources, or just head straight to kindergartencafe.org for all the goodies. If you liked this episode, the best ways to show your support are to subscribe, leave a review, or send it to a friend. I'll be back next week with even more kindergarten tips. See you then.